So there's Bibles back there. Let's stand. We're going to read both passages this morning, and then we'll get into it. 2 Samuel 16, beginning at verse 1. It says, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him." Familiar name from 2 weeks ago, huh? Okay, keep that in mind. "With a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine." There's a good list for those of you who were coming to your houses tonight. Just kidding. Verse 2, "And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruits for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king of Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained upon Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king." All right, now go over to 2 Samuel 19. And beginning at verse 24, the rest of the story. "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon, and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto them, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your holy word this morning. And Lord, as we come before it, I now ask that you add a blessing to the reading of it. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin and empty me of self and help me be a blessing to your people this morning. Father, may I fade to the back and may you, the real preacher, come forward. And may you speak plainly and clearly into our need today. Lord, if there be anybody that is taking for granted your grace this morning, Lord, I pray that you would warm our hearts and, Lord, that you would allow us to see the glorious and amazing grace that we have in you afresh and anew and desire it and it alone. We love you, Lord. We pray for salvation for those who need it. We pray for sanctification for all. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. So a little background to the text. If you remember from 2 weeks ago, as we looked at the story of Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we know that David showed Mephibosheth and his family grace because of the covenant that David had made with Jonathan. Remember, the customary action as a king came into power was to remove all of the family of the former ruler, and by removing, we mean to kill. And Mephibosheth was the only one that was left standing of Saul's family, And instead of killing off Mephibosheth because he was Jonathan's son, David said, I am going to bless him. I'm going to bring him in. And even though he is crippled, even though he is of no value to me as a king, he is going to be given all of Jonathan's inheritance, all of Saul's inheritance, and he will be sitting at the king's table and eating with the king for the rest of his days. We've been come to 2 Samuel 16, our text this morning, and when you first read those first four verses, it should, in some ways, get at your heart a little bit. Because at first you think maybe Mephibosheth has forgotten the grace that he had been given. The context going into these four verses is that David is fleeing Jerusalem because Absalom, his son, is getting ready to revolt against him and has a group of people to go into Jerusalem and try to overtake his father for the throne. And as he's going in, David decides instead of staying and fighting against his own son and possibly having the bloodshed of the people of Jerusalem and also the bloodshed of his own son on his hand, he says, I'm going to leave and I'm going to flee the city and let Absalom come in. And so as David is fleeing and going away from the city, he runs into Ziba. Ziba, if you remember, is the keeper of Mephibosheth. Ziba was the one who David called on because it was Saul's keeper originally, wanting to know if there was anyone left to show the favor and mercy and kindness of the king to. And it was Ziba who said, yes, there is Mephibosheth, and I will go and I will get him. And remember, even in the midst of all of this, when Mephibosheth was given everything, it was Ziba who was also given a task in the midst. Ziba, who was told, you are going to manage the estate of Mephibosheth. You are going to make sure that all of his lands are tilled and that he is provided for. You're going to make sure that Mephibosheth's family is provided for. Oh, and by the way, Ziba, in the midst of this, you and your family will also be provided for. He runs into Ziba, and we find out in the text something that's a little concerning. Ziba has saddled up all kinds of supplies for David and meets him outside of Jerusalem. And when David says, where's Mephibosheth? I thought Mephibosheth would be coming with you. Ziba says, oh, but king, I alone am bringing this stuff for you and your people. Mephibosheth has stayed behind because he desires to take the throne. He sees it as an opportunity. In other words, he has committed treason. David, being upset about this, receives the gifts from Ziba and tells Ziba, well, since Mephibosheth did this, fine. All of what was Mephibosheth's is now all yours. And gives it all to Ziba. Ziba blesses, says thank you, and Ziba goes on his way. You can imagine David is probably heartbroken by the news that he hears from Ziba. Fast forward to chapter 19. The rebellion by Absalom has been put down. Absalom has died. David is getting ready to come back into Jerusalem to retake his throne. And as he's coming back into Jerusalem to take his throne, all of a sudden Mephibosheth appears. Still in Jerusalem. And the text tells us that it's not a very pretty sight. It says Mephibosheth in the text has not been taken care of, as you can see. Obviously, Ziba had left. But Mephibosheth, it says in the text, had not dressed his feet, so his bandages were still there and were probably getting infected. It has not trimmed his beard, has not washed his clothes since the day David had left Jerusalem until now he has come in peace. In other words, Mephibosheth said, I could not take care of myself. I was in mourning. And even further, I did not care to take care of myself because I had so much stress and anxiety about what was going on. And he explains to David, I didn't try to take the throne. He tries to tell David because David obviously wants to know what's going on. David says, where were you? gives Mephibosheth an opportunity to explain himself, and Mephibosheth says, "No, Ziba deceived you. I wasn't trying to overtake the throne. He told me he was going to get a donkey ready and load the supplies and then come and get me, and he just left without me. And he left me here. And I've been fearful, I've been worried, I haven't been able to be taken care of. I imagine he probably went into hiding, noting Absalom was coming in, and Absalom probably was not going to show the favor that his father David had shown. He says, King, this was all being deceived, and says, basically, you make the call. He says, look, why would I try to overtake the throne when you've shown me the grace you have? Why would I try to do detriment to you when you have taken me? I should have been dead. I should have been killed. I was, as he said in Samuel 9, a dead dog before you. And you've granted me favor and kindness, not just to me, but to my family. You've taken care of me. You put me at the king. Why would I try to overtake you? David, not knowing who to believe because of the conflicting stories, says, okay, I won't take revenge on you, but you and Ziba now have to split. David doesn't know who to believe, so he says, okay, you get some, Ziba gets some, and that's it. And David even says, I just want to move on from this. It's not worthy of discussion anymore. So the question in all of this is, who was telling the truth? Is it Ziba? Or was it David? Mephibosheth. I am truly of the belief that it was Mephibosheth who was telling the truth. And let me give you some reasons why. I believe it was Mephibosheth who was telling the truth because of verse 30. Look at the last thing that he says to the king in his defense. It says, and Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him, Ziba, take all. In other words, I don't want half. Let Ziba keep all of it. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his house. In other words, he says, I don't care about my stuff. Let him keep all of it. That's not why I'm coming to you, David. I'm coming to you because I am just joyful in the fact that you have returned, you are okay, and peace is in Israel again. I can't care about anything else. You see Mephibosheth's heart in that verse. It wasn't for deception. It wasn't to get gain, but it was truly just for David. He knew and remembered the grace that David had given him. By the way, think about this also. If Mephibosheth is the one that's telling the truth, and I truly believe he is, think about some holes that are in Ziba's argument. Why would Mephibosheth, who knows he is of no value and no use, who knows that Absalom is coming in and Absalom will probably kill him, why would he think that he could get the throne? He thinks Absalom's going to put him in power? Absalom's probably going to kill him. Hence why he was in the condition that David found him in. Folks, it makes absolutely no sense, Ziba's story. So in this whole entire thing, we see that both Ziba and Mephibosheth, both of them, these men, had at one point experienced the grace of a king in Samuel chapter 9. Both of them had. You may say, Pastor Jeff, how did we, I know Mephibosheth did, but how did, remember, Ziba should have been killed too. The fact that David could call upon Ziba, who was Saul's servant, head servant, to find somebody means that David did not kill Ziba. Ziba should have been dead. Ziba had already been living in the grace of the king. And then Mephibosheth was brought in. Both of them had experienced the grace, the riches of the king's grace in Samuel chapter 9. But I want to submit to you this morning that while both of them had experienced the riches of the king's grace, both of them had different responses to the riches of the king's grace. Very different responses. And what I want to do is look at both of those responses in our text today. Because I truly believe that both of those responses you can find in the world today. And I think you find Ziba's response more than you find Mephibosheth's. You see, to one of them, the grace of the king was enough. To the other, the grace of the king was never enough. And they wanted more. And they wanted more. And so as we look at these today, the final thing that I want you to do, and what I want you to be praying as we go through this, and I hope, I pray that it comes out right today, because the Lord's had this message on my heart for about a week and a half, and I have been messing or trying to think in my mind, okay, how do I want to lay this out? And I'm going a lot, I'm relying a lot on the Holy Spirit here to get this out the way I wanted to. But I want you to be praying, which one are you this morning? This message is directed mostly to Christians this morning, right? People who have experienced the grace of the king. People who have been in Mephibosheth's condition or Ziba's condition, which, by the way, before we knew Jesus Christ, we all were. We were all like dead dogs. We were all sinners on the way to hell. We should have and deserved hell. And the king sought to give us kindness through his son, Jesus Christ, and brought us out and made us children of the king. What has your response been? Are you more like Ziba? Or are you like Mephibosheth? Let's take a look at it. 2 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 4. We see in this passage that Ziba's heart is truly revealed. We see in this passage that Ziba, because of what he has said to David and the account he has given to David, that Ziba never really was okay with the conditions that King David had set forward for Mephibosheth. We see that he always believed he should have had more than the grace the king had given. And he wasn't happy with the arrangement. Whether this started back when David shouted out and said, I want to find someone to show kindness to, and Ziba thought, well, here I am. Why don't you give it to me? And that Ziba was just being an honorable servant in the king's presence of finding Mephibosheth. But somewhere along the line, Mephibosheth thought he was getting the raw end of the deal, and he wasn't happy, and that what was Mephibosheth's should really be his. That's his whole motive for doing what he's doing here. That's his whole motive for getting everything ready and then going off and leaving Mephibosheth behind. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when the grace of a king or the grace of your king is not enough, you will do the following three things that Ziba has done. Number one, you will abandon the responsibilities that the king has given you. You will abandon the responsibilities that the king has given you. You will have in your mind, yes, even though I am saved, even though I am alive, even though I am taken care of, I deserve more. And because you have that idea of I deserve more, you will get rid of the responsibilities that God has given you and blessed you with. Remember, Ziba was given the responsibility. Take care of Mephibosheth. Manage his land. And if you do this, you will be taken care of. He says, I deserve more, so I'm getting rid of Mephibosheth. Kind of sounds like a scene back in the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Adam and Eve had everything. Eve was tempted by the serpent. The serpent said, God's holding out on you. There's something more. And Eve leaves her obedience and leaves the command of God and leaves the obedience of God because she thinks she's missing out on something greater. And folks, let's be honest, we do the same thing in our life. And as Christians, we see it more and more within the church. As a pastor, I see it more and more within the church. I'm sure Pastor Peter would agree with me. We see it more with more within the church. And folks, can I tell you, it comes from this mindset of some of the health and wealth prosperity gospel that is being lied to you and preached from the pulpit a lot of times today, especially the whole stuff of live your best life now. Listen to me. You as a Christian are not here to live your best life now. Your best life is in the life to come.
Amen. Amen.
And people will get you to cast aside the grace of salvation and the responsibilities that the King has given you on this earth to steward because you think you're missing out on something greater in this life, in this world. Come on, I've had spouses. Pastor, you don't know how my husband treats me. And so they will abandon their family and abandon their calling as a mom or a dad or as a husband and a wife because they think there's something greater. I'm telling you, pray for me this morning. We abandon our responsibilities. We will abandon our church family because we believe there's something greater outside of the grace that we've been given and the responsibilities we've been given. Just because it may not be to your liking, just because it may not be to what you want, just because the going may be tough or you don't think you're getting the recognition you deserve. You know what? We say his grace hasn't been enough. There's something more. And so we shun the responsibilities like Ziba did. We leave him behind. And then you know what we also do? We just don't abandon our responsibilities when God's grace isn't enough and look for something better. But we cover up our sin with flattery to the King. We try to cover up our sin with flattery to the King. We bring, as Ziba did, gifts and words of praise. Oh, King, I've brought you all of this stuff. I knew you would need it out here. I knew your men would need it because you fled. I saddled up all the stuff. I'm bringing it to you. This is all for you and all for your men. Yeah, Mephibosheth, he's not here because he's rebelling. Covering up. Not just that, but, oh, Lord, you know, the last verse that Ziba said, I want your grace. I want your mercy. I'm doing this for your favor. Remember me. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, when the grace of God is never enough and we abandon the responsibility the King has given us to do in the midst of his grace, you know what we do? We overcompensate. We go before the King and we offer him empty words of praise. Did Ziba mean anything he was saying? Nope. But why did he go to the King and say all these things? Because he's looking to be in the King's favor, and he knew what could be his if he put Mephibosheth in a bad light. You know what? Also, it wasn't just words of praise, but he brought him gifts. Look at all that I'm doing for you. Look at all of what I've brought to you. Saying, well, Pastor Jeff, how does this show up? Well, it shows up a lot of times in the attitudes that I've heard over the years, right? You hear people say, Pastor Jeff, it's this attitude that God owes me because of what I've given to him, right? I'm going to the Lord. I'm singing praises to God. I'm giving praise to God. I'm offering him my offerings so that he may give me things, not because of his grace that he's already shown towards me. Ooh. You know, I ask people all the time, why do you tithe? Do you tithe because you want the blessing, or do you tithe because God said so? Got quiet in here. Some of you are like, I don't even tithe, so, you know. But why do you serve? Pastor Jeff, we don't think that way, really, because I hear from a lot of people when something goes wrong in their life, they say, and I've been faithful to the Lord. I go to church every single week. I give unto the Lord. I serve unto the Lord. And this happens? What's your motivation? Wait a second. So if you do all those things, everything should work in your favor. No, I'm sorry. God granted you grace that he saved you. And that's why you do all those things. You see, we have a warped, backward mindset when we think everything should work out for us just because we're being obedient. That's not how it goes. The only promise you will ever find in his word about stuff happening to you, listen to me. We like to claim the blessings and promises of God. There are blessings that God will give us when we are faithful and obedient. But listen to me, the promises that are in God's word aren't positive promises for the Christian. They're negative promises. It says when you stand for the word of God and you stand with Jesus and you stand with him, guess what? The world will hate you, they will persecute you, they will rebuke you, they will work against you. How many of us are standing here saying, oh, I claim that promise? But that's what it is. You want to know why you're upset when things go bad? Because you've forgotten about the grace that God gave you in the first place. And you're relying on the physical rather than that. And when you abandon things, you step up that game. I'm going to give God everything so that way maybe he'll forgive this. I'm going to say this so maybe God will give me more. Now, it's not for your own want. It's because he's worthy of it. Last, I want you to see something. When you forget that his grace is enough, you're only concerned with your well-being and not others. Remember, he abandoned Mephibosheth. He abandoned Mephibosheth. Look with me at the last verse. Look at verse 4. He says, then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Now compare that to Mephibosheth that we're going to look at later, when Mephibosheth basically says, I don't care about anything with me. I'm just glad that there's peace in Israel again. You see, when you've forgotten the grace of God and the grace that he's given to you, you only think about yourself. He's been deceitful. He's abandoned. He's going the wrong direction. He only wants stuff for himself. And now he's saying, Lord, bless me in it. Bless me in it. I could care less about Israel. I could care less about Mephibosheth. Bless me. I'm the only one that I worry about. You know, I see this a lot of times within Christians from when they say, you know what? I'm done with the church. I'm done with the church. Look, I understand church hurt is real, okay? But there's no perfect church, okay? And I always remember what someone always said, if you find the perfect church, don't join it because you will make it unperfect. Right? And so what we do is we go outside of the church, neglecting our responsibilities in grace to be a part of the body of Christ. We abandon that for our sake. And we go, Lord, bless me. Lord, show yourself to me. Listen to me, whether you like it or not, you are a part of the body of Christ as a believer, and he's not going to bless you when you rebuke your brothers and sisters. When you abandon your responsibility to the church. Well, Pastor, I believe big C church, not little C. Look, the local church in the New Testament is the vehicle that God will use for his mission to be accomplished. You are to find one, you are to be in one, you are to worship with one, and you are to serve in one for his honor and for his glory. You cannot do the Christian life on your own without any accountability, without any structure. You can't. And so we become only concerned when we forget his grace is enough. We forget that the same grace that God shown us, he showed your brother and sisters that are around you. The same grace that he showed you is the same grace that they need. The same grace that you want is the same grace that they need, folks. Even the one that annoys you, and we all know who that person is. I'm not talking about one person. Everybody has that person. Nervous laughter. Okay, it's all good. Here's the thing, folks. You see, you got a prideful disposition with Ziba. And when you forget about the grace that the king has granted you in your salvation, you get prideful. You get prideful. You realize that everything that you have in your salvation as a child of the king, you did not deserve, you did not earn, and you've done nothing of merit to get it. And so it becomes all about you. And here's the thing, Ziba could fool David, but you can't fool God. And it's funny because we take all of these things that Ziba does to David and could pass and pull the wool over the eyes of a king or of a pastor, but also think that we can pull the wool over the eyes of God. Can't fool God. He knows what's going on. So how many of you are like, okay, pastor, I can see myself in some of this. I can see where his grace has not been enough. I see where I have walked away from some things. I've abandoned responsibility. I cover my sin with the gifts and the praise that I bring. I'm only looking towards taking care of myself. I get that, but I want to change that. I don't want to be like that. Who wants to know what it looks like when the grace of God is enough? Amen. No one? You want to just be left this way? Who wants to know what it looks like when the grace of God is enough in your life? Okay, go to 2 Samuel 19, because here's where we find Mephibosheth, and we see Mephibosheth's response is completely different in the sight of David than what Ziba's was. Here is a man that you can see that the grace of the king is enough. Here is a man, and I hope it can be in your heart too, that no matter what may happen in your life, no matter the hand you're dealt, you can always say, the grace that I have experienced in Jesus Christ and the salvation that I have through the work that he's done on the cross is enough in my life. It's enough. Look at Mephibosheth's response. Number one, when his grace is enough, you always acknowledge and are grateful for the king's kindness. Look at the beginning. It says, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and was neither dressed in his feet nor trimmed in his beard nor washed in his clothes. And from the day the king departed until the day he came again, and it came to pass that when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said, wherefore went not with me Mephibosheth? In other words, he's always willing. It doesn't matter what he looked like. It doesn't matter how he was dressed. It doesn't matter what condition he found himself in. He heard the king was there, and he could not wait to get in the king's presence to honor him for the kindness that he shown. And he didn't even know what the king's response was going to be. But he knew, here is a man that is the sole reason for the fact that I'm alive today. Here is a man that is the sole reason that I have what I have. Here is a man, he was always, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, you need to at some point in your life set up a daily reminder. I don't know if it's a notification that you need to put on your phone as something, listen to me, you need to praise the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and your soul every single day that you wake up, that you're saved, that you're Holy Ghost filled, and that you're a child of the King, and that you're going to heaven. You need to praise him each and every day that he sent his son to die on a cross, and he made a covenant through his blood that he made a way to save his people, to bring them out of darkness and into a wonderful light, to take off the old robe and put on the white robe, to give a pathway of salvation so that way you could be redeemed. You need to praise him for it every day. I don't care if it happened last week, if it happened 5 years ago, if it happened 50 years ago. That grace should never get old to you, because it's everything you've based your life upon. It's the foundation on which you stand. You should praise Him every moment of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, because He's worthy of it. It's something that you could not do on your own. And when you understand just how much God gave to make it happen. Oh, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When you understand the cost, y'all, praise God, salvation is free. But that grace ain't cheap. That grace ain't cheap. It's pretty amazing. And it doesn't matter what you're wearing. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what condition you find yourself. Any opportunity that you have to go and give praise to the King of Kings and Lords for the kindness that He showed you and the salvation that you have, you should take it. And you should make yourself available to it. He was always willing to acknowledge and be grateful for the King's kindness. That's how you knew His grace was enough. Second, He referred His well-being to the King. He always referred His well-being to the King. Pastor, what do you mean? Well, when David said, "Mephibosheth, where were you? I thought you'd come with me." He says, "Look, let me tell you what really happened. Let me tell you the other side of the story. Ziba abandoned me. Ziba left me. He lied to you on the road." And He lays it all out. He said He slandered me to you. But look at the second part of verse 27. Here's what I want you to focus on. He says, "But my Lord the King is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes." In other words, look, I'm telling you the story. I'm giving you my alibi. I'm letting you know what took place. But I'm not requesting anything of you, David. Because I love you. I trust you. I know you are a good and righteous man. Whatever it is you decide to do with this information is fine with me. My fate is in your hands. You know what that reminds me of? The old hymn, "It Is Well With My..." I got the verse written down here, but I can't think of the song now. "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." You know, I try to pray that with people when they're going through tough times. Because folks, listen to me. God is either, when you're going through a tough time, and think of the tough time Mephibosheth just went through. He was lied about. He was abandoned. He was probably fearing for his life. He was not taken care of. He couldn't take care of himself. Fearful as to what would happen to David. He went through all of that. And look, God's either going to get you out of the mess or He's going to get you through the mess. Amen? I know that's a nice little platitude to stand on, but it's true. God's either going to get you out of the mess or He's going to get you through the mess. And when Mephibosheth comes and he says, "Look, I've been through all of this. I understand what my punishment can be. I understand you may not even believe me. I understand that you may think that I'm a terrible person. I understand that you may take me and you may put me to death now. But whatever it is, I trust what you are going to do. It is good in my eyes." Do you trust the Lord with your life that way? "Lord, I understand I'm going through this, 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 and this." And let's be honest, most of what we go through is because of our own fault. We reap what we sow. We got no one to blame but ourselves. Come on. We don't follow God's word. We are disobedient to what we're supposed to do. We bring things on our own. But here's the grace. Are you fine with saying, "Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul"? That I'm going to praise the Lord whether things are going my way or whether they're not going my way. I'm going to praise the Lord whether he heals me or whether he doesn't heal me. I'm going to praise the Lord whether he gives me this job or when he doesn't give me this job. You know what I love seeing as a pastor on Facebook? By the way, if you're friends with me on Facebook, I see your Facebook posts. So I'm not going to call anybody out. But what the thing is, over 14 years that I absolutely love, is I always see, yes, I got the job. God is good. Yes, the test results came back positive. God is good. Yes, insert positive thing, God is good. And I want to reply with, if you got the opposite response, guess what? God's still good. God's goodness is not dependent on whether things go your way. I would hope if you said, guess what? I'm still in the hospital, but God is good. Guess what? I didn't get the job. God is still good. Guess what? Things didn't go my way, but God is still good. God is still good. God's goodness is not dependent upon your experience, believe it or not. God's goodness is eternal. And it holds firm no matter what you go through. Can you relinquish your life because you can say, look, I don't care what I'm going through. The fact that I'm saved is enough. Amen? The fact that I'm saved is enough. And that's what we need to remember. Last but not least, when his grace is enough, not only are you grateful for the king's kindness, not only do you refer your well-being to the king, but lastly, you are willing to trade all of this world for his friendship and his presence. You are willing to trade all of this world for his friendship and for his presence. I love, like I said, the last part of verse 30. David says, look, I don't know who to believe. I'm going to split it. Half is Ziba's, half is yours. And Ziba says, look, Mephibosheth says, give it all to Ziba. I could not care about this inheritance. I could not care about all of this stuff. When it comes to being in your presence, when it comes to the peace of Israel, when it comes to your friendship, that's all I want. So if it means giving all of this up to be in your presence, I'll take it. In other words, Mephibosheth was willing to give up everything this world offered, everything that he had been blessed with, so that way he could stay in the presence of the king. Why is that important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand that the Lord does not have to bless you with anything in this life if you've been saved. And I hope you're willing to give up everything in this life that you have. I hope you're willing to say, Lord, take anything away from me that might hinder me being in your presence or may hinder our relationship. As long as I'm saved, as long as I have your spirit, as long as I'm your child, I have everything I need. How many of us are like, can take everything that we have, everything that gives us comfort and security in this world, everything that is seen as a blessing to us, and hold it with an open hand and say, Lord, if you need to take it, take it. Just don't cast me from your presence. That's when you know his grace is enough. That's when you know his grace is enough. Because you realize if you have all the things of this world, but you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. But if you forsake all the things of this world and the only thing you have, Jesus, you have everything. You have everything. He says, I don't want to get rid. That's why I think David, maybe this spoke to David. I don't know when David wrote it in Psalm 84, but he said, I'd rather be what? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Thanks for helping me, Pastor Peter. A doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather be a servant and have nothing, but at least I'm in his presence. Whew. Why? Because you know the cost to be in his presence. You know the cost and the kindness that was given to you, not on your merit, but at the merit and the covenant of the king. You know what it costs for you to be saved. It should be enough. It should be enough. As the worship team gets ready to come back up and lead us in a final song today, you know, there's a lot of songs that came to my mind as I was putting this message together that I failed to communicate to our wonderful worship leader. That would be a perfect closing song. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be led by his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today. Yes. Yes. Are you Ziba this morning? Or are you Mephibosheth? Is his grace enough? Is his grace enough? Does your attitude, does your action reflect that his grace is enough? And if you're here this morning and you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, listen to me, you haven't even begun to experience the riches that are out there for you. You may be longing for so many different things that this world will give you. You will never, ever be filled or satisfied until you've experienced the grace and the kindness of the King through Jesus Christ. And believer, if you're here this morning and you say, listen to me, listen, Pastor, I hear what you're saying and I've messed up. I probably align more with Ziba today than I do Mephibosheth. Pastor, I want to move past that. I want to have a heart like Mephibosheth. I want to be able to show the Lord that his grace is enough. I want to live a life in which his grace is enough. I want to praise him and acknowledge that his grace is enough. I want to give him all of my life and tell him that whatever he does, I'm going to praise him no matter what. He can give and he can take away, but my heart will always choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Pastor, I want that heart this morning. Well, there's good news. Because the Lord will do for you the same that he did to Ziba. Except the Lord will even do better. David said, we'll split the inheritance between the two. And let's move on. And I'm forgetting this matter. You go to the Lord today. And you seek his face for mercy. You seek his face for forgiveness. You seek his face that you want him to change your heart. You know what he's going to say? He's going to say, I hear you. I have not left you. I have not forsaken you. I'm willing to show you even more grace, even amplified by the grace you saw before. But guess what? I'm not going to take away everything. You get to keep everything. You don't have to divide it with anybody. It's still all yours. David was a shadow of the king. But you have the King of Kings. You have the Lord of Lords. And his grace is abundant. His grace is amazing. And his grace is enough. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me this morning? Lord, we do thank you and praise you.